What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of From Broadway to Belmont. I am your host, Krista Sellums, and with me, as always, is my wonderful co-host, Kevin Koff. Kevin, jump in, say hello.
What up? It's like the nightmare that just doesn't end, man. This is what the last 2 years reversed. Chris is a happy guy. Always
this is, ready. This is what you get today, folks. Oh, yeah.
It's a great day to be Krista Sellums. We are about 20 hours removed from the New York Rangers advancing to their first Eastern Conference Finals since 2015, right around the time you started fully dedicating to watch. So
pretty much,
you're in the woods
yeah.
Now. How good did that win feel last night? I feel like I'm interviewing you after you won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. Sorry. It was.
That guy's got tissues. He's gonna cry.
Yeah. No. I was trying not to like loudly burp on mic. No, it was awesome. I mean, like, I honestly didn't really know what to expect. I thought it would.
I didn't either.
To be completely honest, I thought it was going to be a much closer game than I thought it was going to be. And Carolina kind of got fucking. Carolina got trounced. Carolina got fucking pumped. I think like 2 minutes into the game, Carolina already drew a penalty. And then they got scored on, and then like 5 minutes later, they drew another penalty, and then got scored on again. So you're already down two.
Yeah,
you're 5 minutes into the game. You've already drawn two penalties, and you're now down. Now you're down 2-0, and it just didn't get any better there. I think it was 3-0 before they scored, and then it was 4-1.
Immediately 4-1. About 20 seconds later, that's unacceptable. Like just as you get some juice, that Hedl goal goes in.
Well, no, that was the five. So
was that 5-1?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so it's 4-0. So it's 4-2. It's 4-2, I think, at that point. They get one back. I think it was 4-2 at that point. And then like a minute later, Hedl gets that dagger. It might have still been 4-1. Hold on. I gotta look now because it was either 4-2 or 4-1. I just remember I saw that happen. Like they got scored on, and then Hedl does that. And it's fucking because it's the ESPN coverage. Ray Ferraro, it was perfect timing. If you haven't seen it, you have to go back and watch the clip. I think I liked it on my Twitter, so I'll retweet it on the podcast account. But he's saying, oh well, you know, you don't want to do that. Carolina was right back in it. Just wait. Never mind. It's just so fucking perfect. Like, and I'm not like the I flip flop on like whether I like Ray or not. But that it was just like such like a perfect call. He was just like, never mind. And it was just such like you couldn't tell like if he was trying to shit on Carolina or like he was just.
I think he was just being
like,
funny.
Fuck.
I think he was kind of being like funny. He's got a very he's got a good sense of when to make some good timing comments, and that was one of them. I mean,
you were right. It was a 4-1. Yeah, because Domi scored. Domi scored after that, but so Chortek scores.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. So Kreider goes. 4 minutes into the game, or 4 minutes into the third, it's 4-0 New York at this point. It's 2-0. 8 minutes into the game, and then 16 minutes into the second period, Strome scores. Did you see that Strome goal?
It was not the best goal to give up if you're Peter Kochkechkov. Not the best goal, but there's probably some more deep insight into it that you're going to give me. But all I know is that was a crap goal to give up in that situation.
No, like that goal is the Ryan Strome experience because I'm not even joking. Kevin,
net right before,
I think 45 seconds before he missed a wide open net that would have been made it 3-0. Like completely just like whiffed on it.
He's a fraud.
But then 45 seconds later, fucking ropes it like in between like the shoulder and the top post. And I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me? How is he doing that shit? But he just missed a wide open net.
The man makes no sense.
No, that's the Ryan Strome that I know and love. And the fact that he made an appearance in the playoffs.
It was a huge goal. I mean, that really.
That was like the initial like nail in the coffin. Like when that goal went in, I was a little nervous, but I was also like, there's only 4-ish minutes left in this period. If they can make it out of this period without getting scored on, 20 minutes to, because everyone was asking me like, how are you confidence level going into the third? And I was like, I feel good. Like, I don't think Carolina can come back and win this game, but I'm like, because I'm like, 4 goals in 20 minutes is a lot. I'm like, you need them to essentially have a period they did in like game, they need to be game five for 20 minutes. And I'm like, I don't know if they can do that. Like, they could probably get a couple back, but I'm like, they have to hope New York doesn't do anything. And then, you know, 4 minutes in, Kreider scores, you're up.
That was the official dagger.
That was when I was like, okay, this game's pretty much a rout at this point. New York essentially for the next 16 minutes has to play keep away. Or if they have the puck, get to the red line, dump it in, make a change, play defense, get to the red line, dump it in. Like, they really didn't have to do anything else, but just kind of keep the puck away from Carolina. Trocheck scores about
back to the Strome goal for a minute. Yeah. I feel like you just kind of like, it's 2-0 at that point. You figure maybe Carolina gets one late here. They're only down by one going into the third period. They get another one. They tie the game all of a sudden. But like, it just felt like that one with like 3 minutes left, even if they didn't get that fourth goal, like that just kind of felt like the game. You could kind of see the air just leave the building pretty much. Like,
and people were really
that goal in that situation. Yeah, literally. Like, there was, honestly, you're probably right. The Carolina air left the building, but by the end of the game, business is yelling on TV. The end of the game, Strome, the Rangers fans were the loudest ones there, but you kind of figured that Strome goal, just the timing. It was right after Ronta got hurt. Kochkov just came into the game. Like, they were rattled. The new goalie was in. That was chops. It was chops for them.
Yeah. So the Kreider backhand goal goes in.
Yeah.
I was like, this is, and I tweeted it on the account. I'm like, this is why bullying fucking works, because everyone's been on Kreider's ass about how he has been a no-show these playoffs. I mean, just an absolute phony, a fraud, just like ghost. Two goals this game, looked legit, so I'm happy with that. Yeah, so Trocheck scores about five minutes after Kreider puts that fourth goal in.
Yep.
And legit 40 seconds later, Philip Hedl. Brady Shea, I think, had 10 turnovers last night. He was a New York Ranger last night because he was a mole last night. He was giving it to New York.
Yeah.
Not in the sense you want him to be. He was just he was like, you want the puck, here you go.
Yeah.
And just he was a turnover machine last night. And Philip Hedl on
Carolina was good at all. I mean, you see Slavin got beat on that Kreider goal, which never happens. Aho was bad. I mean, Jarvis is a different situation. He was knocked out of the game. You couldn't really tell what Kotkaniemi was doing. Svechnikov didn't – I really didn't know it was him at all.
Besides, he's the one that took the first penalty.
Like, yeah, that's in the really game. About it. That's the most noble thing he did all game, and it was the worst thing he could have done. So, like, honestly, I don't know what the hell Carolina was doing. Credit to the Rangers. They just totally stomped on them. I mean, that's an incredible game seven to go into that atmosphere and beat them down that bad. But, like – man, if you're Carolina, you gotta be like, what the hell happened there?
Yeah, the Svechnikov penalty at the beginning of the game was just like not the penalty to take. Like, literally at 2 minutes into the game, I think he took that penalty
against a very good power play.
And then just an unfortunate power play to give up was because of Seth Jarvis. I mean, he got lit up by Jacob Trouba, like lit up.
Yeah.
And of course,
I hope he's okay. I don't mean to lie.
Yeah, I hope he's okay too. But like, he got lit up, and of course, everyone jumps online immediately and just goes, "How many dirty hits is Jacob Trouba gonna get away with this playoffs? This guy is just running people over, and I hope he gets run over." Hey, let's just do a simple physics lesson here. All right, if I'm 6'4", 230, and I'm gonna hit you, and you're 5'10", 170, and raising the shoulder. First off, you're just at my shoulder because I'm 6 inches taller than you. So that's exactly what happened. Jacob Trouba, who is 6 inches taller than Seth Jarvis, normally hit him, and he fell. Got concussed because as soon as he got hit.
Yeah,
it was just an unfortunate thing to happen, but to bitch and moan that it was not a clean hit. I'm like, you know, everyone saw it, and it was like, it's a clean hit because he's a shorter guy. It's just unfortunate, but like, he's just a short guy and got hit by Trouba. But like, the fact that they didn't, I was surprised they didn't blow the whistle when he got hit, because he stood up, I think fell on the ice and was like if you didn't see it, he was like crawling to the bench, and then they called him for not getting off. That was the too many men on the penalty. He gets on the bench.
They got called for too many men on that?
They called for too many men. Yeah. That's when I was like, this is going to be a tough game for Carolina, because no one was helping Jarvis get off the ice.
Wow.
The refs didn't blow the whistle at all. when it happened. And then
that's a brutal penalty. I mean, it was a penalty. You can't hop on if the guy's still on the ice, but like,
yeah, what a brutal penalty to call. No one was helping him get off. No, not a single Canes player was helping him get off. And then as soon as he gets to the bench, he sits down and immediately falls over.
Back, yeah.
And then when they go to the bench, he stands up. I tweeted as soon as I saw it. I was like, is this dude concussed? Because there's absolutely no way he has any idea where he is right now. Like, no, he just had the blankest of stares on his face. And I was like, I mean, I hope he's okay, but fuck, man, that was brutal.
Yeah, not great to watch.
So that happens. And then Hedl puts the dagger. The Hedl goal, once that went in, that's when I kind of sat back and I was like, this is a four. We got a four goal lead at this point. There's only 12 minutes left in this game. It's gonna be really hard for Carolina to score the four to at least tie it.
Yeah.
And you know what? It was just great because Hedl. That was the kill shot. That was the goal. That as soon as it went in, that whole building, whatever energy they had, 40 seconds before, it was just. Like it was just like a whoopee cushion. You push down on it. All the air came out. You had Ray Ferraro with the classic never mind. Like I love that call. It was just so funny. And then Domi gets one about 8 minutes later, and then Kopp gets the empty netter. Like another minute later. So
crazy man. I can't believe it.
If you told me that New York, the Rangers were going to beat Carolina in seven games, I would have said, you're out of your fucking mind.
Imagine if you told us at the beginning of the season that, the conference final would be New York and Tampa Bay. I'd be like, oh, man, round three? Like, no.
Yeah, the New York and Tampa Bay. No. What would have been really crazy is like, no, it's actually Buffalo. Jack Eichel actually never got traded. He rebuilt his relationship with the Pegulas, and he actually loves Buffalo.
I mean, credit to them, they played great. Drew pushed some really good buttons, which I know we're gonna get to, and the trade deadline with that Kopp deal and the Mott deal. But I mean, I don't know, there's a few more points that's gonna segue into that with the goalies and the trades, but like, I gotta give credit to the Rangers. They got there, and I think whatever you talk about it, have they played, I'm not saying this is an insult, I mean, they played Domingue and Ron.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the Smith, but they still got there. I mean, it's not the most like ideal thing in the world. I mean, I can see where people have their gripes, to be fair.
People have their gripes, but I'm also thinking about it. I'm like, if it was anyone else's team and they were playing these backup and third string goalies, they wouldn't give a fuck. So it's kind of like, it's like outside looking in, yeah, because you're not a fan of the team. You're just pissed off that they're advancing because they're playing backup and third string goalies. But it's like, if it was anyone else's team, they'd be like, this is great. We only have to play a backup, or this is even better. We have to play a third. So I'm like, it is what it is. Like, I get that people are going to complain about it, but also at the same time, like, if it was your team, you would also be pretty happy about it. So, and you know what? It's poetic justice. So there's two points of poetic justice I would like to get to. The Rangers haven't played a legit goaltender all playoffs. So what's the biggest test that they have? The Eastern Conference Finals against arguably the best goalie in the world.
Oh, he is the best goalie in the world. And he's arguably like we talked about him being a top three goalie of all time. Like, once he gets hurt, there's no excuses now.
Yeah. Right? I mean, it's like, and you know what? You can talk a lot of shit about the Rangers and who they played, but if by some miracle they make the Cup Finals, if they make it to the Cup Final by some miracle, you can't talk shit about the team anymore because they beat a third stringer, they beat a second stringer, they beat a third stringer again, and then they beat the best goalie in the world. So it's like, what else do they need to do?
Well, if they beat Vasilevsky, then it's like, okay, like, fair enough. But like, yeah, like why people have their like,
no, yeah, that's the point I'm saying. Yeah, I'm like, yeah. I get why people are upset about it now, but I'm like, once, if and when and potentially they beat Vas, I'm like, that kind of shuts everyone up because they're like, all right, these guys were pretty fucking legit then, and we were just being. You know, we just didn't see it until now. So I think beating Vas is definitely what gets you to the promised land. In terms of people taking the Rangers as like a legit threat to the Cup.
Never, as we have learned in the last 2 years, Tampa takes no prisoners. They killed us 2 years. I mean, they didn't kill us, but the Islanders played them well 5-on-5. And me and you had texted about this last night. The Islanders played Tampa Bay really well 5-on-5, but they got murdered on when Tampa was on the power play, and the Islanders probably just really couldn't kill a penalty against them. The Rangers can probably kill some good penalties and score some power play goals, but are they going to be able to hang 5v5 with Kucherov, Stamkos? If Point comes back, probably doesn't, but if he does, Palat, Colton, Nick Paul, it's a lot of good pieces there that's tough to hang with 5v5, so I don't know what to expect, but all you need is one power play score, so like, who knows, right?
And the thing is with the Rangers, it's like, they aren't great at generating 5v5 chances this year, but when teams allow them to create those chances, like, they don't organically create them. Like, if it, the opportunity for a 5v5 scoring chance presents itself to them, they take advantage of it. So if Tampa doesn't do a good enough job of not creating those chances for the Rangers, that's, I think, how they're going to lose the series. Because, like you said, they were great. They're great on the power play. They're great on the penalty kill. They have great goaltending. So if Tampa just drops the ball and creates a bunch of 5v5 chances for them and allows them to get in position to score, that's how you lose the series if you're Tampa. So you just have to do that and just hope that Vasilevsky plays like Vasilevsky. But yeah, that's pretty easy for him to do. But something I think wanted
it's
to
also
just...
Tampa. Sorry, just to wrap up before you go across. It's like, I feel like Pittsburgh and Carolina is just like, whoa, that was a great, good chance in Edmonton. I feel like it's just reliving all of my worst memories just because we watched this for the last 2 years. We watched the story unfold. Tampa just has this like, and I think the Rangers kind of have part of it too at this point, just the way they play and the way they act together. I think the Islanders have that kind of spark too. But like Tampa just, they're not like Pittsburgh or Carolina. They just, the way they block shots and the way they all sacrifice and the way they just know how to win, it's just crazy. And I think if nothing else, even if you lose the series, like the Islanders, I think, learned the first year. I think the Rangers can learn a lot this year from how Tampa plays and how you can kind of beat them. But like, man, Tampa's just got, they're crazy. They just know how to get it done.
I am not going to be upset if the Rangers lose this series because you
like
have
to. I wasn't upset the last 2 years. Yeah,
You have to learn how to lose in order
to win. Yep.
So it's like you're talking about Laff, Kako, Hedel, Miller, Schneider, all these young guys. It's like they're all, you know, the fact that they're in between 20 and 22 and they're all getting Eastern Conference final experience now.
Yep.
That's going to carry with that. They can carry that experience with them for the rest of their NHL careers.
Oh, absolutely.
So I think whatever happens. It's a great.
You're with house money now.
Yeah, pretty much.
You have been since the first round.
So
it's going to be very interesting. I remember last year at game one, the Islanders won game one last year. So we'll see what the Rangers can do. Obviously, it didn't turn out so well for the Islanders, but you never know, right? And you guys have home ice advantage. Oh, let me spoil it.
That is, yeah, that's what I think going to – and a lot of people said, like, yeah, it's been a difference maker this year, but it's Tampa. It might not be as big of a difference maker, obviously. And I agree with that. I don't think it
is.
Because Tampa, I just think Tampa wins on the road and Tampa wins at home.
But home ice is huge. That's huge.
Home ice is huge. And you learned that. I mean, you learned that a little bit with Carolina. But, like, the thing with them was the second piece of poetic justice that I wanted to bring up was the fact that there you go. 1-0.
Yeah, you saw that, right? Damn, yep. Kane's looking good for the Oilers.
They can't re-sign him, though. He's going to get paid over the summer, I think.
I don't know. I feel like he'd be smart to stay in Edmonton, you know? They like him there. He scores goals. I mean, he's not stupid enough to, like, sign, like, a 5x5 in, like, Florida and, like, ruin his career again. He can't be that stupid, right?
Probably. Who knows? He is. But, like, the thing with Carolina was all playoffs, they were this great home team. And home ice advantage is great. But you have to be able to win on the road, too.
Yep.
And the Rangers have proven that they can win on the road. And the Rangers have proven that they can win at home. Kind of like Tampa. Carolina was not able to do that. And it's funny that Carolina's one and only home loss this playoffs was the last game they were going to play at home, potentially. So, it sucks for them. I don't know. What do you do if you're Carolina? Because it's like you have a good team, but it's like I think a lot of people said it, and I think like they don't have a star. I feel like Aho is an elite player. Svechnikov is an elite player. Like they have a lot of elite guys. A lot. Oh, there you go.
It's gonna be a crazy series, man. What is that?
Holy shit, bro. Come on.
This is why I want Edmonton to win, man. I want Mike Smith in the final if they get there.
Dude, I saw the stats at the beginning of the game. We were talking about the Rangers. Smith's got a 927 in the playoffs, and Kemper is at 904. I was like, what?
But that just
doesn't make sense. I know.
Yeah. But I mean, like, I don't know what Carolina does, because it's like they find themselves, I feel like, in the same position as the Leafs, where it's like,
yeah,
you have so much star power and you're just not getting it done. What do you do before you really shake things up? Because it's like, Rod the Bod is, I think, 500 now in playoffs, or at least 500. Yeah, I think this series it was 500, but like in the playoffs, it's like you've made it for the last 4 years, but have you gotten, you made it to the conference finals once?
Yeah, it was that one year when they beat the Islanders in the second round. I mean, I don't know. Here's an interesting question now that you bring it up. Like, they're obviously a very similar situations. Would you, if you had to inherit one roster right now, would you pick Toronto or Carolina? I might pick Carolina.
In terms of the future, Carolina, just because I think they have a lot more younger players.
Uh-huh.
And I think they have, like, because with Toronto, they have a lot of young guys, but they're getting older. And I just I don't know. Like, everyone's like, oh, this is the, you just run it back with this team because they can do it. But I don't know if they can. I just don't know if they can. Like,
I'm not buying it.
Spezza's gone now. It's like, you know, there's a lot of pieces that are moving in Toronto the wrong direction. Like, Tavares wasn't really a factor. Nylander wasn't really a factor until, like, it really mattered. Like, Matthews is the golden boy, but it's just like, I don't know. So,
I don't know what Carolina does, though. I mean, this is, I don't know. Are they going to go down the round and be like, oh, we probably win if Anderson's in that, and just kind of hope for the best? I mean,
so you mean do what all the fucking Pittsburgh media people are doing? Still, yeah, I mean, it's been 2 weeks since they got eliminated, and they're still complaining. Like, after last night, they came back out of the woodworks, like, oh my god, we're Crosby the GOAT isn't going to be able to play against the reigning champs. We got robbed.
I saw that tweet.
I quote tweeted it, and I was like, I'm going to play the world's saddest song and the world's smallest violin. It's like, fucking cry a little more. It's like, Jesus Christ, it's 2 weeks. Get over it.
Yeah,
Herbie. You got Brian Russ, dude. Come on, be happy about that. He re-signed, baby. 36.
Yeah, I don't know, but should be very interesting regardless. I mean, good for you, good for the Rangers fans. I mean,
I hate the
Rangers, but happy to see my friends succeed.
Thank you very much. Good for, drumroll please,
our favorite city,
the Winnipeg Jets, baby. Yes,
go Jets, go.
Come on, baby. You guys are the real winners last night.
Since the Rangers advanced to the conference finals, a stipulation in the initial trade that we honestly laughed at the trade deadline episode.
How fucking crazy is that, man?
I know. They go from giving up their second round pick for Kopp to this year's first round pick. So now, instead of getting a late 50s pick, Winnipeg's looking at either 29, 30, 31, 32. So not bad. I mean, hey, go for Winnipeg. I mean, great for them for throwing that stipulation in there. Who would have thought we would have been here? But Kind of electric for them. I mean,
yeah,
I mean, like, you made the conference finals. Like, who cares? Like, whatever. Have the pick.
Yeah,
right?
And they're still, they've got two second round picks. So the condition on the second round pick is just whether they take the Rangers' second round pick this year. I think it's either, so the second, I think they had two second round picks.
Yeah, it was
they got 2 seconds for Kopp, but it's either, so yeah, they had two picks in this second round this year. So they obviously, the one the Rangers keep now, and it goes back one. To a, well, I think the Rangers keep their pick now, but the second becomes a first. So now the second round of the Rangers had was from St. Louis, the Blay trade. So the condition of that is they either take the St. Louis second round pick from the Rangers, or they take the Rangers second rounder next year.
I don't know. I guess it doesn't matter that much. It's probably going to be pretty
similar. It really doesn't matter that much. If you want the picks this year, you take St. Louis's pick because it's going to be a better second round pick.
Next year because it's probably a better
pick. Or you just take the Rangers' second round pick next year.
Yeah, I think probably next year.
And they got a fifth round pick still. So, and they got Morgan Barron. So, I mean, the Winnipeg Jets made, for a trade that I was like, I don't really know. Like, I at the time, obviously we were like, we don't know how Kopp is going to mesh with the team and if he was really worth as much. I mean, he has been lights fantastic out for New York.
Yeah,
I shouldn't say it was an absolute steal. It was obviously a risk, but for me, I just feel like he has lived up to the value of what you traded for him.
Yeah, some players just click, like Kopp and the Rangers, Pageau and the Islanders. That's why you got scouting departments. I feel like they probably saw something in Kopp that obviously we didn't. I mean, how many Winnipeg Jets games do we watch? Not very many, but like Kopp was the perfect addition to that team to really push them over the edge. I mean, I think he's very underrated, and I think people are starting to realize how damn good he is. So good on Drury and the Rangers. I mean, they really made some good trade deadline moves. I mean, besides the Booch trade, like he's not doing too bad. And the Nemeth deal. So, I mean, he's a rookie GM. He's learning, but like he's made some pretty good takes.
Like we said, he was going to have some things. He was going to have some moments where it was like, first year GM. You didn't. You look back and you scratch your head, but it's like he almost made the Eichel trade. The Kopp trade happened. I mean, the guy had Drury had a lights out. Now that I've seen this team play in the playoffs, Drury has had a lights out deadline because
yeah,
you got Vetrano for a fourth rounder, Mott for like a fifth rounder, Braun for I think a third rounder, which is a little bit of an overpay, but he's got a ton of playoff. I didn't realize he had a lot. He has so much playoff experience. He has been a lot of those years with San Jose. And I think he's been pretty good. I mean, I have not had many complaints about him recently. I'd much rather watch him on the ice than Nemeth. And I think I speak for a lot of Rangers fans there. And obviously Kopp was the marquee grab at the deadline. So it's like those four guys, you brought them all in. They've all been game changers. Goodrow came back this series too, which was kind of insane because you're like, he hasn't played since early May and he fractured his foot. He's got to be on some sort of beaver tranquilizer or steroid because there's no fucking way that I'd be able to fracture my ankle or my foot and play.
It's actually not bad. I think he's definitely tough. I mean, it definitely hurts, but like when I broke my foot, maybe not. Maybe this is definitely not the correlation to make because he's an NHL player. But after like a week or two, like it kind of stopped hurting. You just can't mess with it just because like you don't want to like tear a tendon. But
he's getting down there and block a shot. I mean, he had two crucial blocks yesterday.
Yeah,
this guy's a fucking animal.
That's like such a savage move just to be doing that. And like him and Lindgren, like just dropping out for the shots when they're all banged up. Like total savage move.
But like, and you could tell like as soon as Goodrow was back in the lineup, like the team looked so much different.
Yeah.
And that's again playoff experience. I think he's been in the playoffs every year since 2019.
It's earlier than that.
He was in with San Jose. Since San Jose, like
2017 probably.
Yeah, so he's a Cup final in 2017. I think San Jose made it the next year. They lived in Vegas. He won with Tampa.
He was one that scored that game 7 OT goal against Vegas.
He won with Tampa twice, and now he's back in the playoffs. So he's another guy. He's had like 6 years of playoff experience. Braun has a ton of playoff experience. Reeves has a ton of playoff experience. Kreider is the old man in the room now. I mean, that was a pretty funny quote. You know, I don't remember what beat reporter asked him, but they're like, you know, it was a question about McDonough and stuff. And they're like, you know, what did he teach you when when you were on this team, when he was still here and in the playoffs? He was like, well, it's a little like he taught me everything. And it's weird now because I'm the old guy instead of the young guy now. Like all the guys that I was getting this advice from and everything, you know, they're gone. And I'm the old guy now here. And then Drury had another quote about the Kopp stuff. He said he went down to the locker room after the win and was just checking in on the guys to see like, how everyone was feeling and stuff, you know, pump them up, like congratulating them. And he said, Kopp looked at him and was like, sorry about the first rounder. Like,
love that.
So, I mean, like this team is they are, I think, defying a lot of odds right now. I think they have a 0.2% chance of winning the cup, but they had like less than a 20% chance of, yeah, I think they had a 25% chance of getting out of the first round. I think a 40% chance getting out of the second round, and now they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. So yeah, I'll take 0.2% because at this point that means they have a chance. And they've proven that if you give them an inch, they're going to take it. They're going to make you regret it. And they hang into games. I mean, they're one of four teams, or the fourth team, to come back from two deficits in a playoff series. You're down 3-1 in one series, 2-0 in another. So I mean, they are resilient. They are they definitely come to play. So yeah, I'm excited to see where they go and how this series plays out. And I think we're gonna have a very telling game one.
Absolutely.
And I don't think Point's gonna play. I think I don't know if he practiced today or he trained with them or yesterday, but I just think he's done. I don't know what's up.
He hasn't practiced. Sergachev hasn't practiced. And I can't remember who the third one is. I think it's one of Colton or Palat.
I think Sergachev did practice
today.
He
did not practice. So they're back. They
released a lineup today saying Colton was in, Sergachev was in. I had a thought, but then I immediately was like, no, this is not a thought to have, because as soon as I say it, I'm going to mush the team. But like, I was looking at the lines, and I'm like, for a second, I was like, yeah, I think the Rangers, I'm not too scared. But then I was like, no, I should be scared of this. Yeah, I just think the Rangers can beat this lineup. I'm like, I am definitely scared of this lineup, because even though I think they could beat them, the Rangers, I mean, Tampa's just going to do what Tampa does, and they're going to pummel you.
It's very hard to beat Kucherov, Hedman, and Vasilevskiy.
They got 4K here now?
Yeah, you see that on the face-off, right?
That was nice.
I know, right?
Holy shit, I felt like I was playing Chell.
Shout out Ball Arena.
Holy smokes. Yeah,
speaking of the series, I don't know what to expect here. I've had two goals in 48 seconds, but it's going to be some high-flying action, but I don't know.
This one goes a distance, I think.
I think you're probably right. I think McDavid could pull it off. He's that much of a savage that I think he could do it.
That's the thing. Like, I think as a fan, if especially like if the Rangers make the Cup final, I would much rather play the Oilers, because as long as Mike Smith is in net, I think you have a chance to beat the Oilers, no matter how good Connor McDavid is.
He's not great either.
He isn't, but I just think from top to bottom, Colorado doesn't have as many holes in their lineup as the Oilers do. I think defensively, the Oilers are weak, and if you're skating out there against the Oilers' bottom six, they're very easy to beat. I don't think there's anyone of note playing for their bottom six. Maybe? Is he a third liner at this point?
I don't know. Zach Cassian, Derek Brassard.
I forgot he was a fucking Oiler.
I know. Dude's been bouncing around like nobody's business lately. I don't know. Edmonton's there. I don't know. I'm not honestly impressed with either of these Western Conference teams. So I think I'm hoping for the Lightning to win. This is like my worst nightmare, man. The Lightning and the Rangers. I mean, what a joke this has been. Could this Islanders season get any worse? Let's go through the events here. So what? The start, the 11 game losing streak, COVID. I don't even know what else happened. They missed the playoffs. Mike Bossy dies. Clark Gillies dies. Missed the playoffs. Barry Trotz fired. Their two biggest rivals in the conference finals. What a disaster.
Pop Van die too?
Yeah, Jean Pop Van died. What an unmitigated disaster. It's truly incredible how, like, it's like, is this like, I don't, is this some sort of like cosmic joke? Like, what did we do to deserve this? Did we just sell our soul for the last 2 years, maybe? It's like, you hate to see it. You really hate to see it, man.
Everything that could have gone wrong for the Islanders has gone wrong. Everything you didn't want to see in the postseason, you've been seeing. It's been bad. There's no denying that. It's truly been bad.
This is just a cherry on top. The only thing that honestly could get worse if the Rangers win the Cup this year, that would confirm
that a Lundqvist jersey was buried
100%
underneath UBS. That for me would be the confirmation that jersey was indeed buried there, and you know the Islanders have
been cursed forever. I will go and dig up every single inch of that ground to find that damn jersey if that happens.
Yeah, you're going to see every Long Islander sign up petition to, I cannot get over this 4K, dude. I mean, this is just insane. I mean, you're just staring at someone's ass, essentially. But I mean, they could definitely find a better angle for the 4K. But it's pretty sick. But yeah, I think you would see every Long Islander sign a petition to blow up UBS or to find the Hank jersey.
You simply have to.
You're like, we're going back to the Coliseum. This was a mistake. Billions of dollars were wasted, but we don't care.
Send us to Kansas City already. We're done here. But yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. It's going to be very – I mean, we didn't expect to be here, so I think we just got to wait and see a week. I hate to say it, but I'm actually away next week, so it's going to be a solo pod for first week of the conference finals. So I am so sorry to leave you behind, but I will be sure to text you about the
maybe I will get a guest host.
Yeah, I think that would be good. Is that like a Ranger fan? I think that could be. Yeah. I think that could be good.
I gotta do some digging.
Fair warning, yeah, I know.
I almost fucking went to Raleigh last night too. By the way,
really?
I almost went.
Not too far.
Well, yeah. So I was in Jersey though for a wedding, and I drove back yesterday morning. And I got back at like 1, and I was genuinely thinking about it. And my girlfriend's dad sent us a tweet. Someone had 12 tickets to the game, and they couldn't go, and they were giving them away for free. The Rangers fucking retweeted it too.
Savage.
And we almost considered like asking like for the tickets, but it was for me, it would have been fine. I would have went because it's only like a 4.5 hour drive.
Could be worse
for him. Excuse me, I'm drinking a lot of seltzer and beer right now, so I am carbonated. For him, it would have been tough to get back to Jersey.
Yeah,
I had to fly and whatever and stuff, and I almost went, but then I also thought about it, and I was like, I don't know if I want to go, because if the shoe was on the other foot and the Rangers ended up losing 6-2. That would have been the worst possible thing for me to see. Yeah, I would have just been so miserable.
So miserable, yeah. But
because that's a car ride. I wouldn't have said a word. If I was with someone, I would not have said a word for 4.5 hours. I would have sat in silence.
Yeah. I can't. Yeah, that's the risk you gotta take, I guess. I mean, That's definitely crazy though. But that's what happens. I'm curious. This time last year I was you were solo podcasting about the Islanders in the conference finals, and now we're solo podcasting about the Rangers in the finals. So happens fast.
It's crazy. Time is indeed a flat circle.
It really is. I mean, it really is.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think by the time I record next week, game one is tomorrow, game two is on Friday, game three is on Sunday, and game four is on Tuesday. So I might do a late pod on Wednesday night. Yeah. I might do either a late Tuesday or a Wednesday pod. And
the next time
we'll see. Potentially, there's potential that the next pod is either a Rangers got swept pod, the Rangers swept pod. It's a 2-2 series, or it's a 3-1 series, both ways. So who knows there is like a four or five possibilities here.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could either be in the pit of despair, on cloud nine. I've ascended from the 13th level of hell.
Yeah, you're going up.
I'm at least in purgatory at this point.
Yeah, you're going up pretty high at this rate.
Like, if there is a world, if there's truly a god, and somehow the Rangers sweep the Lightning and go to the Cup final, that I will ascend. I don't. And I saw this debate on Twitter today, or not really a debate, but I saw this comment, and I agreed. If the Rangers win this year or within the next 5 years, I don't care. They could be shit for the next 20 years.
Oh my God.
Dog shit. Like terrible. If they just win one,
I will be happy until I die. We could lose every single game until I die if they win one.
Yeah, dude. I see one. That's fucking it. That's all I need to see. All I need is one in my life. Because if I'm ever having a bad day, I just turn on whatever game they fucking won it in, and I just watch the celebration. And I think back to, oh man, I was at that parade. Because if they win this year too, I've already started like warning people at my job. I'm like, I might go missing for like 4 days. Like I will be in New York and I will be incoherent for 4 days. Like Ovi level bad.
Understand.
Like, I didn't even win the cup, but I'll be Ovi levels bad.
I feel like that's pretty understandable. I feel like you have to do it, but it's gonna be interesting. The next time you see me, one of Tampa Bay or New York will be in the Stanley Cup final.
Holy shit. Where are you going?
South Carolina again. So
a little Hilton Head.
A little beach vacation for a week. Yeah, we'll have to see it. But I'm looking forward to watch the games, and we'll see how it goes. But man, this is gonna be a wild ride. Buckle in. It sucks. I mean, we lost last year, so it sucks. But it's a wild ride. And once you get to that conference final, it's like, man, you're just so close. You can taste it. And I think even the last 2 years before this, like, the West isn't that like scary. Like the East is. This feels like, I don't want to count out the Avs, obviously, but like, you know, you got the Habs, the Stars, maybe the Oilers, the Avs who have weak goaltending. Like, it feels like this could be the Cup final, and whoever wins this.
I think you just ripped your mic out.
Oop, did I really? I totally did.
You ripped it back in.
Nobody listens to this part anyway.
Yeah, I am excited to see what happens, but I am also truly terrified. But we will see. I'm hoping that best case scenario, it's 2-2 when I record next week. If it's a tied series going back to New York, I'm fucking on the moon. I'm like, we got life. We're in it. We are mint. If the Rangers are up 3-1, if there is a scenario where the Rangers are either up 3-1 or they have somehow swept the Lightning,
I'll end it
next
all.
Week's podcast will be in pig Latin. Like, it's just going to be incoherent ramblings from me.
I might be in South Carolina. Chris might be dead. I mean, it's just
there might not be an episode. If the Rangers sweep Carolina or Tampa next week, yeah, there's going to be no pod because I'm deceased.
Well, I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks, man. You got a lock of the week before you venture out into South Carolina.
My lock of the week was like totally wrong last week. I said the Rangers would win on the road and the Canes would. No, I said the Rangers would win on the road and the Canes would win at home. Maybe, or was it the opposite? Either way,
I think it was the opposite because Carolina had yet to win on the road, and crazy. They lost every game on the road and won almost every game at home. Insane. Oh. The dog.
Dude, what a move. Yeah, that little chip is just unbelievable. People don't understand how hard that is. I mean, if anybody sees this, that chip and that goal is unbelievable. But I don't know. I don't got lock of the week. I don't know. I'm just gonna let it ride. What about you?
My lock of the week is that the New York Rangers and the Tampa Bay Lightning will play some hockey games.
I think you hit the nail on the head there.
I'm not saying anything. I don't want to put anything out there. Tonight. So they're just gonna play some hockey games.
So, yeah.
The dog, man, he's just unreal. Facts. I kind of want to see him lose though, because I want to see him, because I think we're gonna reach a point where he pulls what I think McDavid would have did if he didn't get out of the first round, and he's just like, I don't want to be here anymore.
Fair enough.
Because this is his 10th year there, and he's got nothing to show for it.
It's his first conference finals.
Was he have a Calder and some individual trophies?
Just really a Calder.
I don't think he's won a Hart, right?
No.
So, I mean, if you're the dog, you don't get out of here. You get out.
I think this probably solidifies that he's going to stay. But
who knows? So,
all right, I got a number of the week this week. We got 46. I put this in a random generator every week, and I still have yet to get anybody good, which is kind of hilarious. Started with current AHL Board of Governors leader, Scott Housen, wearing it in 1985. He played 18 games, all for the Islanders, 8 points. Sick career. He was the Columbus Blue Jackets GM when they were trash. Same year, Vern Smith wore it for one game. Shout out Vern. Did nothing. Just guy was just skating around out there for an NHL game. 5 years off. We go 1990.
I could fucking do that.
Yeah, exactly. We could do the same thing Vern Smith did. Come on. I'm sure Vern put much more work in. Dale Kushner, the Kush, played 82 games over 3 seasons, kind of ironically. One for the Islanders, two games played, 2 penalty minutes. We could also do that. Did nothing else. But he had 10 goals and 23 points in his last 80 games. So good for you. Jason Holland wore it next. Played 12 games for the Islanders. 1 goal, -3. This might be the worst number yet. This is so bad, bro. Marco Toiminen. I don't know who that is. 1 game played, no points. He played for Edmonton LA before that. My God. Matt Martin wore it for 1 year, his rookie year, which is kind of fun. He played 5 games and had 2 assists, which is a pretty good clip for Matt Martin, I may add. Almost 0.5 points per game. Good for you, Matt Martz. And then Matt Donovan, who is now with the Predators, I believe, or he was a couple years ago, wore it for 3 years with the Islanders, accumulating 19 points on 67 games. So what a terrible number. I mean, there's just no which way.
But yeah, it's the number of the week. Hopefully we get a good one. Hopefully you get a good one next week. Maybe number 94, number 40. I don't know.
Bro,
if some good, if some I good saw, juju.
If yeah, if I pull 40 or 94.
It's a sign
from the gods. I am every penny I have, I'm putting another future on the Rangers.
Yeah, man, that bet's looking. Can you cash out? How's that cash out looking? I mean, I don't want you to cash out. Don't get me wrong, but like, it's got to be tempting, right?
It was the other day because I was looking at it because I was home when the Rangers played game 6. And I texted you, nuts were on the table. I put $100 on the Rangers.
Yes.
Which paid off. So let me just log in here. I don't know if it's going to let me log in. It's going to tell me I can't bet, though, I think. But I don't need to. I just need to see my slip. I agree. Verifying location. Yeah, I'm not. Dismiss. I don't care. I'm not trying to bet. I want to. Fuck. It won't. Hold on. Okay. So yeah, I don't think I can cash out because I'm not home.
Oh, okay.
But I think they were offering me $100 to cash out the other day.
And you put down what?
25.
That's not like good.
I would have won some money. But yeah, I put down 25 to win 475.
You gotta ride it out at this point.
Oh, I am. There's no fucking way I'm not, dude. Because if they win, I'm gonna be a drunk asshole for like 2 weeks.
And you got $500 to spend the ball.
Yeah, and then I got $500, dude.
Yeah, exactly. That's your whole party fund right there. I mean, that could, if you spend $120 a day, that's gonna last your whole 4 day party.
Yeah, I told Steph if I win, you know, if by some miracle the Rangers win the cup, we're going home. I'm cashing out. I'm taking out the $500, and then whatever that check from FanDuel comes, we're going out for a nice steak dinner.
Yeah, there you go. Love to see it.
Fuck yeah, dude.
All right, wrap her up.
Yeah, I was going to say, I got pretty much nothing else. Nope. I'm hoping the Rangers can do something good. And yeah, I'll see you in, I guess, two episodes. I know,
so sad. You hate to see it.
All right, well, let me wrap this puppy up.
Yes, go for it.
Yeah, so thank you for listening. Make sure that you're subscribed to the podcast on whatever podcast platform you listen to. Give us a 5-star review and give us a 5-star rating and write us a nice little review. And make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter @FromBroad to Bell. I tweet on there pretty much every Rangers game. I might bring back the third period live stream.
Yeah, I've done that a while.
I didn't do
too many, stressful for them.
I didn't do many during the Carolina series. I think I only did one just because I was busy a lot of the other times. So yep. If I'm watching it again, I might do some streams again because the streams were always a good time. And whoa.
I know, right?
And, yeah. Kemper was just flopping around there. And I think that's about it. Make sure you follow the podcast account. I tweet on there a lot recently. So putting some numbies up, so make sure that you're following that. And that's about it. Kevin, you got anything else?
No, sir.
All right, we'll see you in 2 weeks. I'll see everyone next week. Peace.
Nice.